8:05. So, Rach, you have a different take on this Butker situation, the kicker for the Chiefs?
Yeah, you know, it's all over Twitter, and everyone has their hot take as far as, like, how wrong this guy is. And look, I don't agree with him at all, but at the end of the day, he kicks a football for a living. Like, I don't care what he has to say about my life choices, and I don't think anyone else should care either. I think the more we come back at it with, like, oh, and here's why you're wrong, oh, blah, 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 I think it just gives more legitimacy and more power to the words that he's saying. I think
is there someone who we should listen to? If you're qualifying it by what he does for a living?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be like, you can't have good opinions if you're a football player. I'm just saying, I'm a woman, he's a man. First of all, I don't really care what you have to say to me about being a woman, and if you don't care what I have to say about you being a man, fair enough, right? It's two different lifestyles, two different paths in life. Different experiences. I just don't care what he has to say. At the end of the day, the way I take power back in the situation is I go, okay, great. I don't care, sir.
One of the things I find interesting about it, and we all have our own, you know, you ask someone what religion is, you'll get a different answer. You ask one what Christianity is, you'll get a different answer. We all have our own journeys that we go through, and it depends on whether you went to Assembly of God or Episcopalian Church or Roman Catholic Church. But when I was very religious, which would have been from about age 18 through my mid-20s, I attended a very small church, very conservative, very fundamentalist, very scholarly, where their whole thing was, we call him like we see him, we follow the Bible, and if it's unpopular, then it's unpopular. And they would have never let a woman speak in church.
Right.
They would have never let a woman have any sort of authority over a man. It was very much like that. Hmm. And so my point is, I don't think that Butker is so far outside the mainstream if you really take it seriously.
He's not.
Like, you can turn any religion into anything you want if you're just going to be cafeteria about it. But if you really go by what the book says, and of course, again, there are millions of volumes written on what the book says, but it's not that uncommon for Christians to hold those beliefs.
I agree with you, Dave. I was raised the same way. Women were not to speak in church. I also went to Christian school, and I was highly encouraged to become a preacher's wife or a teacher whenever I grew up. Those were like the two main, like, hey, if you're a girl, these are the two paths that we really encourage you to take. I'm speaking from my lived experience when I say, when a guy like this speaks up and it tells women how they should live their lives, the best thing you can do is go like, okay, bro, and just move on with your day, because you're not going to change his mind. He thinks he's right. And, you know, no amount of like clap back is going to cause him to come out and go like, oh, yeah, you're right. You are allowed to have just as fully of enriched life as a man. He's never going to come out and say that. Also, I hate his beard.
It's a fascinating thing. Like, I don't think it's worth all the rage. I think that's a good point from Rach, because people are, like, online very angry and raging against it. All right, so you disagree with him. You can say that. I mean, like, I disagree with him. And I thought it was interesting, too. He didn't speak to the young men there and say, your most important job is going to be being a dad.
Right.
Why not?
Because men are seen as fully formed people and women are their helpers.
Right. And I think that's the question. Why didn't you also pat? Because to me, I'm a guy. My most important part of my life is my family. That's more important than career. Career is important. But like, why is the message changed? And I think that's what people will point out. And if we can have the conversation in a normal, not like getting on TikTok and yelling at someone, or I mean, like, the big thing I saw last night on TikTok related to him was people going through and making fun of all the outfits he's worn into games. I'm like, that serves no purpose. You can have a discussion about the topic and say, boy, you know, it's really interesting. He didn't say anything about guys being a dad or making that their number one thing in life. He's talking about all these lifestyle things, which I actually had the bigger problem with, because, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. Who are you to call something evil or to call something a disorder, which I think is the thing he used for most of the behaviors he doesn't agree with. I mean, in your sacred book, it says judge not lest ye be judged. You don't get to say those things about other people. You can have these rational conversations, but like getting on Twitter or getting on TikTok and trying to own somebody because they disagree with you, well, they're doing the same thing back at you, and it never ends.
Right.
It never ends.
Andrew, do you feel like you're being thrown into the deep end of the pool here? Like, we're talking about all these things that you were checked out of?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to catch up on everything. And there's so much I feel like I've missed. Wheeler's a wolf or something these days.
We should have started with that.
Master of wolves.
A master of wolves?
Yes.
Why?
He loves wolves,
I love
man.
Wolves.
Wolves need a master.
He just dropped that bomb on us last week.
All these things are true. I wouldn't deny any of them.
Turns out he has wolf posters and stuff like that.
No. They're portraits.
Portraits.
Pictures. Like, they're photos, not posters.
And blankets.
In frames.
Yeah, I was going to say that's worse.
We have a blanket. Yep. We got a wolf blanket.
Portraits imply they are framed.
Yeah.
And he lets his wife take the heat. His wife
has... No, I don't let her. I fought for that heat. I wanted that smoke.
The family thinks it's her that's into the wolves.
Used to.
Oh, okay.
I set them straight.
So they would buy her wolf
like in our 20s, they were like, oh, Susan likes wolves. Let's get her wolfy stuff. And then we'd open it up and look at each other and I'm like, sorry. I'll have to explain this again to them. It's actually their own son that likes the wolves.
The best, Andrew, the best part was he was telling the story and he was like, and everyone knows I'm the wolf guy. Like,
I am.
And it was like, are you are? Like, it just blew everyone's mind.
Well, okay, but I would never, having seen your wife, I would never look at you and then your wife and be like, she's into wolves.
Yes, exactly. That's why it was ridiculous that my parents thought that.
It's certainly not the single most aggro human being who's ever set foot on the face of the earth.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. She shares in the admiration of the wolf, but not like I am.
It's got to be the person who likes to...
We're dog people. We like canines. We like animals in general. We're very animal-y.
What if she thought wolves were stupid?
No, she doesn't. But if
she did,
it'd be fine.
See how quickly he answers.
She doesn't. Yeah.
No, but she's like, she thinks my video games are stupid.
She thinks you're stupid.
All right.
I mean,
what does she think about baseball?
Mostly thinks it's stupid.
All right.
I give her credit.
Do you think her stuff is stupid? When she's like reading books, are you like, books, dumb?
Books. No, I don't think that. I just think books.
Do you dump her books when she's
No, I just like, books, not for me, is what I say. Not for me.
Not for me.
Books are not for me. Not since Turbrock said F books have we had such a...
No, I think that... So this is Susan's stance on baseball. She does not care, will not care, will not watch, except in the cases where I'm actually playing.
Hmm.
She would come to our college baseball games, even though I sat the bench the whole time. You know, some of the charity games we've done, like the world record games, she's come out and watched those. So, you know, she likes me for some reason.
So now we also have to tell people not to climb into a overhead bin on a plane.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
This was a story on CNN.com. About, apparently, there's some viral video, there's a viral TikTok of someone in the overhead bin on a plane, and then it got deleted because, I don't know, reasons. And this article is going through all of the reasons why people shouldn't do this. And I'm like, do we need an explainer on a major news website about not getting into storage bins on airplanes?
I can tell you that I have been a part of charging product companies thousands and thousands of dollars to draft a warning sticker that would go on, say, for example, a push lawnmower saying, don't pick this up to trim bushes because someone did it. I remember doing the one... how can I tell the story? We had a guy who was working at a factory, and there was 7 minutes between shifts, and there was conveyor belts. And this man mistook the conveyor belt for his girlfriend, and it led to a very terrible injury, which he decided, rather than going to the emergency room, it was so embarrassing, he would fix himself with an industrial stapler. So it was a 2-for-1 there that night, and it went badly, and he got badly infected and ended up in the emergency room and ended up losing some stuff down there.
Oh, no.
And sued everyone in sight for him treating a conveyor belt like a girlfriend. That was a real case.
All right.
I handled that case for 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Taking depositions. And we represented, like, the company that made the rollers that went into the conveyor belt that this guy then abused. Like, why am I here? Why are my people here? Was there anything wrong with the rollers? Well, they caught his skin.
Well, they were too attractive.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not meant for that.
Did you meet the guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
what he looked
like?
Completely humiliated.
But he was going through with it anyway, huh?
Yep.
Did he look like the person that would do that?
Yep.
But he had enough shame to be like, well, I might have stepped in it this time, gang.
I'm just going
to
hang my head a little bit.
Yeah, no, we had like 8 people taking his deposition and, you know, just taking turns. And there was one guy who was really, really aggressive, and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because he was saying the things that everyone in the audience is thinking right now.
Yeah.
You know, like, what the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And you did this, and what else have you done?
How did you not know this was dangerous?
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a longer article than I thought. I clicked on that story, and I was like, I thought it was going to be like a little blurb and maybe a little video of the person being there. And I'm like, this article's really long. And it's like, let us detail all of the reasons why you should not climb into the overhead
bin. Somebody had a word requirement.
Yeah.
I need 500 words on the overhead compartment.
So speaking of sex, non-sex beds at the Olympics.
Did you guys, know this story, right? About the Paris Olympics are coming up, and they have these beds, and basically they're calling them anti-sex beds, but they're just tiny. They're like really tiny. That's all it is. It's like, it's going to be really difficult for 2 people to be in there.
How will they ever
figure this out? I don't know. But their whole point in the story, I got to take into account that it was a New York Post story. There's no delicate way to put this, but what their biggest worry is that it's going to be more than just 2 people.
Oh, okay.
And they don't want all the group.
So they're trying to keep it to 2 people,
or somehow control the situation.
Because
apparently it's
care.
A big thing in the Olympics that it's just like everybody's doing it,
but
and they're all doing it together.
For the most part, grown people.
Oh,
I'm sure there are a few minors who they're like for gymnastics and whatnot, but I mean, why not just let them do whatever they're going to do? What's the skin off their nose?
I don't know.
But this was the thing at the last one, right? There were like, the beds were like almost made out of paper.
Yeah, they make them really tiny, and they're really fragile, so they'll break.
Well, you certainly don't want them sleeping before their big events.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's not changing anyone's behavior.
No.
I mean, there's a floor right there.
Oh, hello.
There sure is.
That's how Wolf does it.
Hey, that's how you do it. Yeah, that's a good point.
Wolves don't need big beds.
Wolves don't need beds. They just right in the forest.
Floor's right there. Susan! Floor right there!
I'm just always amazed that
make
people...
Make books go away.
I'm amazed that...
Book not for me.
The other thing that Wheel said, Andrew, is we asked him if he liked the Twilight series, and he said, no, they were unfair to the wolves.
I made that up because I've never seen
it. You were right.
Was it?
Is that real?
Yeah, Jacob kind of gets the short end of the stick.
Well, now I really hate him.
The wolves are like second class
citizens.
I just
totally made that up because I've never seen a minute.
Then Jacob falls in love with a baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
what?
It's super weird.
Yeah.
That's you like know, weird. Like wolves do.
Like wolves do.
Yeah.
That's how they treat the wolves in those books.
I don't really like that.
Scary little pedophile.
I don't like that at all.
Gosh.
Giving wolves a bad name.
I don't like that at all.
Books. Like Twilight.
One more reason to hate book.
Yeah. No more book for me.
Why are you rushing all of a sudden?
I don't know. I do that all the time. It just sounds cool.
Well, you do it on break.
All right.
224 DGS. Do you see this crazy story about it's a guy from Algeria who disappeared when he was 17, and he was found in a hole in a neighbor's barn or basement or something, and the person had kept him there for 27 years.
What the hell?
They think that he is one of the longest running kidnapped victims of all time. And then as people were looking at the video, you can see the video where he's like surrounded by hay bales in this hole, maybe the size of an elevator. And they're like, just climb out of the hay bales, dude. And so he probably could have left at any time he wanted, but I guess he had spent so many decades there that that was his life.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Terrifying.
Nuts.
I don't know, man. That's just... What's wrong with... I mean, every once in a while, I'm like, something went wrong somewhere.
We're all living our lives. We all have our challenges. And when you start feeling sorry for yourself, like, no one's ever had to take care of a sick parent before. No one's ever had to this or that. No one's ever had their child home from college and their mom in a nursing home. No one's ever had... This guy was in a hole for 27 years.
Yeah.
That was his life.
Yeah.
And you don't just crawl out of the hole and go get a job at IBM.
Right. You're out like, all right, I'm back.
Yeah, that was weird.
Somebody order food.
Like, I'm good now.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, boy. The House has introduced the Let Trump Speak bill. They're trying to get gag orders made illegal all over the country.
What?
So, yeah, the federal government is trying to mess with the way state governments run their judicial system.
I thought we were supposed to leave it up to the states.
Yeah, that's only if it's an abortion.
But, do they understand that can also work against
their interests? I think when you introduce...
Or is it just for show?
The
is this
Let
just
Trump
like,
Speak bill.
Is this just knowing it's BS and it's just a way of kissing his butt to make him feel like, hey, we love you, Donnie?
I think you're right.
You think that's what it is?
I think it is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
People are such
also, this
goobers.
Is quite interesting. Mitt Romney came out and said that he thinks that Joe Biden made a terrible mistake by not completely pardoning Trump.
Oh, interesting.
He thinks that, and he has some good points here, that if Trump becomes president, it won't be because he was a brilliant campaigner. It won't be because he won on the policies. It'll be because he played the martyr card, mm-hmm. and being shown in court every day is what his people want to see, and it motivates them by anger. And so he should have taken that away. He should have used his influence the way LBJ would have and pressured Alvin Bragg to not bring the case in New York. That's the kind of thing a president can do, and then he should have pardoned him for all the federal charges so that he had nothing to be a martyr about.
I mean, it's a really interesting take. The flaw in it is, though, that Joe Biden is spending a lot of time talking about January 6th, and if he were to pardon Trump for something like that, it takes away a lot of the juice.
Gotta pick your lane.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they still have to prove their cases against him, right? I mean, we don't have any verdicts yet, so we can't say he did these things or he didn't do them definitively, right? It's still alleged. But should we, as a presidential candidate, pardon someone who broke the law for political reasons?
Right, yeah.
Like, should you not still have to face justice, even if it might be bad for politics? Weird.
Talking earlier about what the best time of your life was outside of, like, you know, family and kids and such when you grow up. Mine was getting my mini bike and being a gangster. You know, adulthood really is sort of screwing because you're set up in grade school, like, you know, you don't know any better. And so you think, oh, I'm in training to be a grown up. So we must have PE classes and music classes and recess twice a day and then lunch hour. Like, I can do this. This is okay. And then you get out there and you're like, I'm sorry, when is PE? When do we play kickball?
When's our recess?
Yeah, when? God, the best. You could fit a lifetime into 15 minutes.
It felt forever, didn't it?
It did. It really felt forever watching those clocks. They would go backwards before they would go forwards, like for real.
Yeah,
they would like click backwards and then click forward 2 minutes. You're like, I know I somehow lost in that. I don't know what's happening.
What about summer vacation?
Forever.
Where's my 3 months off?
It lasted forever.
Mm. I'm convinced that was built in as an incentive for people to want to be teachers. No, I'm teasing.
No, I think that's probably maybe. True.
You think?
I mean, it is, right?
It's one of the very few like things you would think of, like, oh, that's a really good benefit.
It's a really good benefit.
Because you
got
to deal with all the kids and the politics and everything else. It's getting tougher to be a teacher.
Stairway to Kevin.
All right. So we talk a lot about the internet and its impact on various parts of the population, on us. And would you guys agree that, like, the common view seems to be internet is really not that good for you?
Yes.
Like, that's common view. I don't know that, I'm not saying scientifically seen that way, but just like everybody's vibe is, man, the internet really gets you down. It can be a major negative. So they did a study at a university in the Netherlands that found the exact opposite, that people that have consistent regular internet access are actually happier than people who don't. But there's a lot more to it. So they studied the behaviors and responses for like 2.5 million people over 168 countries. So this wasn't a little localized thing in the Netherlands where it's a very small ecosystem. They studied 2.5 million people, 168 countries, and they found that of those people that have regular internet access, 85% of those people report greater feelings of well-being than those that don't have that same access. Now, it raises some questions, right?
Yeah.
Like, because the people that don't have internet access...
What else don't they have?
If you don't have it for financial reasons, well, you're already in a difficult spot, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have it because you live in the middle of...
Nowhere.
...the wilderness, well, you have other challenges that are bigger concerns for you. So it's not an automatic. It's not like internet stuff is good for you. The story has got some nuance to it. But it says that it may not be as bad as people think it is. Mm. And that essentially their advice... is if you notice your feelings becoming more negative, then just stop.
Yeah.
Well, the internet doesn't force you to do anything.
Right.
It's almost like guns don't kill people, people kill people.
A great analogy.
You know, yeah. Because I may every now and then be surprised by an image or something like that, which I don't count TikTok because you go to TikTok to be surprised. That's why that's where your dopamine comes
sure,
from.
Sure, yeah.
Is something flicking your new. Thumb and having something you've never seen before pop up. And for somewhere between a half of a second and 8 seconds, you go, oh, that's a thing in life. Look, that gorilla fought that peacock.
and the peacock
But there's
won.
Nothing you're forced to do. You're doing exactly what you want to do online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously, sometimes what we want to do is not what's best for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, as human beings, we don't always eat the way we should. We don't always exercise as much as we should. And this goes for all ages. But this was what was interesting to me about this story that I read and the study. This is from the scientists that studied this, social scientists that studied it. It's that we don't often take the time to learn the nuances of everything, but panics set in fast. People will see some fact and they'll be like, the internet is terrible. TikTok is bad. It's bad for you. But what they're saying is we have to study these things over a longer period of time and in more detail to understand it. So every person's experience with the internet is going to be a little different based on who they are and what their life is. So if someone is prone to depression, for example, well, then that might be there might be things that are triggers for someone in that position. If someone doesn't have it, that same thing may not have that same impact. And we tend to get on these generalized panics about new things, especially when you haven't had the time. Like, use alcohol as an example, right? It's been around how long? Millennia.
Yeah.
Millennia. We know what alcohol does. We are all very familiar with its physical effects, with its addictive properties, with how it's used and how it's used differently by different people. We don't have millennia of data to look at for internet usage or social media usage. And I thought, to me, it was one of the greatest takeaways from reading the story about this study was it's not always as crazy as you think it is. It's not always as terrible as it might seem when you're looking at a small sample size of data. You know, when you're looking at a few years or even 20 years as it relates to human behavior, which has been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. And what they wanted to do is just make sure that people understand that this is nuanced and that everybody's experience is going to be different. And we shouldn't generalize how technology or any other new thing impacts an entire population of people.
Fair enough.
But that was really fascinating. And it doesn't seem like those messages are often enough included when you hear coffee is now bad for you or, you know, how there's always conflicting studies that are coming out. I just thought this one was interesting in the perspective that it took. It's like, wait a minute, it's not necessarily all that bad for you. We did this study. A lot of people that have the internet, that's perfectly fine, and it actually enhances their lives. And then you weigh the negatives against the positives. Well, what are some of the positives of having the internet? How much has it helped people with learning? How much do kids in school have access to things at their fingertips as opposed to having to go to the library, find the encyclopedias, pull it down there, go do this? How much has it changed how well people do their jobs? How much has it changed medical care? Right? I mean, I can send my doctor a message through, you know, the web portal. I used to have to call and wait for a call back and do all these kind of things. They're just things that are made better that we don't necessarily think of.
What do you think it says about us that for every person who goes to the internet to use it to tap into the compendium of human knowledge,
right,
to learn something about philosophy or physics or the physical sciences, for every one of those, there are 1,000 who go to Pornhub? And you know, even without the internet, we still had the compendium of human knowledge. You could go to a library and you could learn anything you wanted to learn.
It just took a lot more time.
But we don't.
No.
Like, I love to learn, but for every time I do something like that, I watch the same Ancient Aliens about Antarctica over and over again.
But look at it this way, though. If you didn't have access to the internet, how many of the cool things that you've learned in the last 20 years would you have ever learned?
Yeah, very few.
Almost none. Because you would have had to go, like, I wonder about the, how did they build the pyramids?
And the person I learned it to wouldn't have known it either.
Right.
I learn a lot of stuff from people who are like, hey, did you know this? No, I didn't.
Like what we do on the show. Like, we'll talk about, hey, you know, they found that, you know, ancient humans cooked food before.
What about doing the show without the internet?
I started to say, Rach, I've been doing the show long enough that when I started, when I really, really didn't know what I was doing, all the little funny make-em-up stories and, you know, like, oh, a guy in South Dakota. I used to go physically through the USA Today, and there was a part in it where they had stories from all 50 states. And they kind of leaned towards the goofy. And that's what I started doing. Like, literally in my first week, I would go through those and I would, like, circle a story and make a funny little quip about it. And doing the show by myself with no one in there. Rach, as you know how that is now, doing your show.
Yeah.
I did a 3-hour show with no one in the room with me. Just like, oh, I hope they're laughing. Yeah.
And it's not that, you know, these bits of information wouldn't be out there, right? I mean, newspapers and magazines would still exist, but they're periodical, though, and you're not getting them all the time. Whereas on the internet, especially with social media, whether it's Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, whatever, you're able to see little bits and things that catch your attention. And then you're like, man, I want to learn more about that thing because that thing was really interesting.
Know who the internet made me mad at yesterday?
No.
Two people.
Uh-oh. Not me, Hope.
Nope, not you. But you're related to one.
Uh-oh.
Because you were talking about Tom Brady and when he was like, I can't believe people were so mean to me in that roast on Netflix.
My kids.
I got paid $500,000 for it. It affected my kids. I was so mad at him last night. Like, it's the... I am not only the most important thing in the world, but I'm the only thing in the world, and everyone else is going to see me as the hero. You know, had he just shut up, I would have forgotten by the next day that he ever did a roast on Netflix.
Right.
I didn't watch it. I don't care about it. It was meant nothing to me. But it's like the Streisand effect. He had to bring attention to the fact that, oh, I regret that. I would have never done that. Well, it just makes you look terrible because you can make a mistake. I've made plenty. And I've made mistakes that I walked into with my eyes wide open. But my Lord, when you have months and months of negotiating the price for a Netflix roast, all you have to do is go watch a roast, any roast. I mean, like, the Dean Martin roasts were pretty brutal, and that's nothing compared to, like, the Jeff Ross takedown kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You knew this was going to happen. You knew or should have known.
Yeah. You knew it was Nikki Glaser and Jeff Ross and what's the other dude that's the Tony Hinchcliffe. He's known for being the insult comic.
It's just, like, save it. Save it, dude.
Also, if it did have that impact, why would you need to bring that to everybody's attention?
I know.
Why wouldn't
you
just be like,
go back in time and change it at this point?
Like, why not just address that with your kids and do some things in moving forward to stop doing things that would bother your kids? Why do you need to tell the rest of us this?
Just stop. Just don't do it again.
Right.
Apologize to your kids. Say that you made a bad decision. Don't do it again. You don't need to tell us.
That's my point. Right.
Yeah.
But with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and they're not alone. A lot of the people that are in the celebrity world as athletes, actors, musicians, they need the attention.
Speaking,
and that's what it was about for Tom all along. He needs to be the center of attention.
Speaking of celebrities I'm mad at, Ronald McDonald could kiss my white ass.
Uh-oh.
I'm so sick of corporate speak. I'm so sick. If you think about it, in this world, if you look at communication, right in the middle with this tiny, tiny line, barely perceptible, is when people... and especially corporations, say something that's real and honest and meaningful. Typically, they're above the line with a bunch of happy horse crap, as my dad would say, or they're below the line just throwing mud at each other. And then there's a tiny pencil line going down the middle where someone says something real and honest, And when confronted with all this, like, hey, McDonald's, you kind of suck because you're charging $14 for a fish filet meal, and now you're rolling out the $5 meal, but not everywhere, and it's only available in, like, a small percentage of your places, and then
you're not giving refills.
And then their corporate speak is just so, like, well, you know, paramount to the McDonald's. Shut up. Paramount to the McDonald's Corporation is one thing and one thing only. Profit. That's it. You're going to charge us exactly every penny you think you can get away with the least quality food you can get away with. That's what you're going to do. That's honest. That's real. I dare you to say that, Grimace. 251, time to talk to our pal Rick Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, I love talking to you guys. You know that, don't you?
I do know that. I do know
that. Yes, I do. I do. I look forward to this twice a week, and I just absolutely love talking baseball, but just talking life with you guys too.
I gotta tell you, my mom, who has had a hard time recently, fell and broke her hip and a sudden onset of dementia and nursing home, she thinks it's the coolest thing in the world that you and I are buddies.
Well, you know, honestly, I'm glad to hear that. You know, my mom was a great heart connection for me. She passed a year ago, and she was such a great fan. She went to a million games. And we'd talk baseball 5 times a week.
That's cool.
Up until she passed. So, yeah, I get it.
So, Rick, Wheels and Ronge and I had a discussion an hour or two ago. What everyone's talking about out there in Twitter land, of course, is like, oh, it's time to tear down and rebuild. The Cardinals have never done it. It's time to start from scratch. And everyone has their drop-dead date. And you don't talk about it until Flag Day. You don't talk about it until the All-Star break. As a concept, though, because you've been through it and you've seen it done with other clubs, just talk about the concept of the tear down and the rebuild.
So I think the concept, I get the concept. I mean, there's a time where you realize, okay, it's too late. We can't. But it's not May 15th. It's not May 16th. It's not, you know, so I think it's just way, way too early to be kind of in that mode because you can do some other things. You could add people to get that thing fixed or whatever's broken by the time you get to July and August, which is, again, way down the road. So I think if anything the last week has taught us, the Cardinals were playing to get into third place a few games back. I mean, it is so early to be kind of throwing in the towel. I'm actually crazy surprised by this conversation. And again, I get it. I mean, people are frustrated, but just enjoy the ride. I mean, the ride's got some bumps to it, but, you know, baseball's fun and baseball's also unpredictable. I'm not predicting that the Cardinals are going to be kind of playing in October, but they could be. So let's wait until we get to that point before you throw in the towel.
Rick, it's such a great point because if my last name is DeWitt, it's a double-edged sword because I love that my city has such passion for the product that they're just all about it. They're talking about it and they're semi-obsessed with it.
Right.
But you know what? My name's not DeWitt, so I can just enjoy the team for what it is.
Well, and so here's my equivalent to this, and it may resonate with people that may not. I've been a Knick fan since I was 12 years old. And I have had zero people to root for 40 years. I mean, it's been very difficult to be a Knicks fan. I mean, John Starks, okay, that's great. Patrick Ewing. But now they're in the playoffs, and I'm kind of excited about it. And, you know, are they going to win the NBA? I don't know how far they're going to go, but why don't you just enjoy your team? I think there's something about the ride of it that's more important than being overly obsessed with talking about dollars and cents, talking about, you know, who's, you know, kind of in how the market works and big market, small. I mean, that is boring stuff to me as a fan. I just care that the Knicks are still playing and I get to watch them. So why don't we just enjoy that? That's my opinion. But again, my name's not DeWitt either, but I'm not the average fan, but I am a baseball fan. And I think that's better to just get into the zen of baseball than worry about the economics of baseball.
It's funny. I was having almost that exact conversation with my buddies who are not Cardinals fans. They all live back in Detroit, and they are the ones that sweat every season because, you know, look, we're all Lions fans, and finally they're good now, but they haven't been for my entire lifetime. But what's interesting to me because, Ricky, it sounds like you and I are looking at it the same way. I don't need my team to be good to enjoy watching my team. It's better.
Right.
It's better when they are. It's more enjoyable when
of
they
course.
Are.
Of course.
I still love sports either way.
And people can feel how they feel. I mean, I'm never going to stand in line and say people should feel this way or that way. But I'm just telling you, saying how I feel. And it sounds like you and I are similar. You know, I think about Kevin, and I've said this to you guys before. I went to several games when I was a kid. My mom would take me. My dad would take me. We had this great family experience. I saw Clemente play. I saw these great players play. Willie Mays play. I have no idea whether the Cardinals won or the Mets won any of those games. It doesn't matter. I mean, it was a great family experience, and I think, again, that's the experience. And I'm not trying to sell that. I'm just saying that's the way it is. I think it's healthier for us as consumers of sports to enjoy it, hope for the best outcome, but enjoy it nonetheless.
Rick, have a great homestand, buddy.
Thanks, guys.